Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Tune Up with Deb is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association. Once again, here's your host, Deb Ross.
So my guest today, her name is Jill Chambers. The company that she is the president of and the founder of is called Financial Concierge. It is located in Calgary, Alberta, and she herself is a financial concierge. So I have invited Jill back this week to discuss with us her services, how it is that she goes into situations and takes the chaotic type of situation of lots of documents and lots of different details that are flying all over the place and brings it to a place of organization. But we also have a lot of personalities that are involved in those situations as well. So I have asked Jill if she could share with us some of the testimonials, if you will, case studies, if you will, of situations that she has personally dealt with, and just help us and let us walk through that process with her as she describes the situations that she has been able to bring various solutions to. Jill, thank you so much for your time again.
Thank you, Deb. I'm glad to be back.
So can you start off by just describing a situation that you were part of, please?
Okay. The referrals come from all different places. And this one was from a neighbor. A neighbor knew what I was doing and had another neighbor who was just drowning. I'll call that neighbor Jessie, and I refer to this as the sandwich generation. So Jessie's raising her own children who are, you know, they're sort of late teens into university, and they're still needing a fair bit of her time. Her spouse has aging parents, and being the female, we end up being the nurturers, so she's busy looking after them. Then it turns out her own mother needs an enduring power of attorney enacted because she's experiencing cognitive decline. And during that time, the mom's new spouse, the stepfather, dies. Jessie is drowning. She now she feels a little bit like an octopus. She's being pulled in about 8 different directions. So being able to step in and say, Jessie, you focus on the kids and let us do some of this paperwork. So, you know, the power of attorney, that was still her role, but we could give her some guidelines on what things to be careful about when she's doing any of the financial transactions so the siblings don't come back at you. But primarily what we did is help her settle that estate for the stepfather. That was just really out of her comfort zone. She'd never done that before. And it's a long process.
And she was named executrix, is that correct?
Yes, for the stepfather. So I don't know if he had children or not, but again, she may not even have understood what the situation was all that well before she was thrown into being the executrix.
Well,
so it's a long process. It was, oh my gosh.
Yes.
It's typically about a year and a half.
Yes. Well, of course, it just kind of goes with the old adage that if you want something done, you give it to a busy person.
That's right. I guess so. Yeah.
So remind us, who invited you into this situation?
This was a referral from one of Jessie's neighbors, a neighbor that we knew, and said, you need help. And this is who you need to talk to, and these people will help you.
So then give us step-by-step how you solved the situation for Jessie and her family.
Well, I guess first off, just sort of saying, these are all the things that you need to do as an executrix. The checklist is about a mile long. And this is the order they should be done with. Ian, what have you done? What needs to be done? And to literally assign us the duties of doing it. So we did all the running around in terms of the order of probate. There was real estate involved. There were trusts. There were bank accounts all over the place. There were investment accounts everywhere. So it's a lot of, I guess, being a gopher and a detective and hunting and looking and filling in forms. Communicating with CRA, because there are numerous tax filings that have to be done. I could go on for pages.
So essentially then, if we really look at this, this is not a task that Jessie probably would have been able to do on her own, given that her hands were already full with other priorities.
It would have taken a long, long time. And the first time you handle an estate, it is overwhelming. And if you've ever dealt with probate, if you don't have every I dotted and T crossed, it bounces back. And every time it bounces back, you're adding 3 months to the process.
Yes. Do you have an example that you can share with us where dementia has been involved? This is something that we're facing quite a bit in our community. Can you give us an example of something that you worked with in that area?
Sure. One I would think of is probably, say, Linda as a name. Her mom was experiencing dementia. Linda had 3 siblings, but I think she's the eldest. She was tasked with being responsible, so she was mom's enduring power of attorney and tasked with getting mom relocated from the family home to a dementia care facility, and then looking after getting the house cleaned out, getting it fixed up, cleaned up, on the market, selling it. As soon as the house was sold, the other 3 siblings are going, hey, you know, we're all over this. We want our share of the money. So they did a distribution. At this point, mom, I don't know that she's that cognizant about what is happening with the finances. When Linda provided the accounting, she said, okay, these are what all the costs were to fix the house, to get everything done, to sell the house, the legal costs, et cetera. And she said, because I did it all myself and did it through Comfrey, I'm going to deduct 3% as my fee for having done all this work. Well, that put fuel on the fire. Now all the siblings want to know, well, how can they burn ass to do it? They would have done it if they knew they were going to make money at it. And then we had the son saying, well, the estate owes me $500. What? Oh, yes, I've been taking mom to the casino once a month and giving her money to play the slot machines. Well, I kind of doubt that somebody with dementia on a memory care unit is going to play the VLTs once a month. But anyway, it brings out crazy behaviors in people.
So who invited you then, your professional services, into that situation? How were you contacted?
Actually, in this case, Linda found us through the American Association of Daily Money Managers. Mm. She had typed in the phrase daily money manager. She was at a loss. She knew that she needed to provide all this accounting now to the siblings, and she had been doing a lot of things in good faith. She'd been paying stuff out of her bank account. She'd never tracked all of her mileage. She'd drive from outside Calgary into Calgary and back. She'd approached accountants. Nobody was interested in helping. So that's how she ended up finding us.
And now, was the mother aware of any of this stress?
I don't think so. I mean, if you're at the point of, I never did meet the mom. In this case, my client was Linda, the daughter that was handling all of the financial affairs, because we were doing something a little different here in that we were helping her to get all of her accounting organized to provide reports to the siblings.
Well, that's a very interesting testimonial or interesting case study, because it's not necessarily the senior that you're dealing with all the time. Now, the other issue that I'm seeing a lot of families deal with, and in our family we were dealing with it as well, is some mental health issues with individuals who have responsibilities that are falling through their fingers. Any case studies you can walk us through where there are some mental health issues that you were able to bring a workable solution to?
Well, the most extreme one was somebody that had a business with, 25-year business, I think, with, I don't know what the inventory was, of musical instruments. And this person had mental health issues long before they developed any sort of dementia, and also, like, severe hoarding issues. It was just a nightmare. And this referral actually came to us from an accounting firm. Because this person had a business, the accountant was dealing with them. They were having a dreadful time trying to get information. They knew that there were sort of issues, but they couldn't be on the ground visiting this client at home. So that's when we were brought in and tried to get things sorted out and deal with some of this hoarding. It was a real challenge, and I don't know that I could really say we had a successful ending to that one.
Oh, really?
Eventually, we just had to agree to part ways. Hoarding is very difficult to do, but then you can't wind down a business and have assets to live on unless you're willing to part with some of your assets.
And what about family that are around this individual?
Estranged from all of the family. I think they were family around, but I think there was some real behavior or personality, disorders or something in place. It was very, very challenging.
It sounds like a very painful situation, really, for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're saying that it didn't come to the conclusion that you would have liked for it to have come to.
That's correct.
So what would your solution have been for that situation?
I don't know how you would solve it. When you're dealing with hoarding, you're dealing with a mental health issue. You need to have the person involved with a mental health professional. If they're not at danger to themselves, how do you get somebody to agree for an assessment or to even agree to go into treatment?
Yes, and unfortunately, it's not a conversation that many people are comfortable having. I think we're a lot more comfortable with conversations and discussions about mental health currently than we were, say, even 15 years ago. There's been a lot of forward movement in that. It is a health issue. Mental health issue is just like any other health issue. And I think that we're a lot more open and a lot more compassionate, a lot more understanding. I would have liked to have seen mental health involved from a governmental level, from the actual health department involved in something like that, because I'm sure that your expertise in terms of organizing and putting everything together probably at the end of the day would have brought a great deal of relief to that client.
Again, there were mood swings, so some days everything was great and very happy with what we were doing, and other days very accusatory as to what we were doing, and no, they weren't going to get rid of any of the stuff that they had agreed to get rid of.
Right. So you basically see all kinds of situations, Jill. No boring days with you.
No, never.
Well, why don't you provide us with all your contact details, please? I'm sure we've got some people who would love to look you up on the internet and perhaps give you a call and ask some questions. So if you could provide those details for us, please.
Okay. The website is www.financial-concierge.ca. And my phone number is 403-978-2176. The website again is the three W's, financial-concierge.ca, or you could phone me 403-978-2176. I'd love to have a chat with you.
Jill, thanks again for your time. I very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Deb. It's been terrific.
To my listeners, thank you for your time, and we will chat again soon.
A half-hour financial advice program, Tune Up with Deb, is produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Deb Ross is an accredited financial counselor with Intune Financial Solutions in Prince George. Be listening for Tune Up with Deb each week at this time. For previous shows or more information on Intune Financial Solutions, visit intunefinancial.ca.